Should I open? Yeah.
Go ahead.
Your source for paranormal. Para X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Welcome to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio Network. I'm Stephanie.
And this is Heidi, and we are here once again with the radio show of the century. No, I'm kidding.
Woohoo! And it is a Taffy Tuesday today, Heidi.
Taffy Tuesday. I don't know, Steph. That's kind of a stretch.
Well, you know, we want to give everyone something to chew on. Oh, my gosh. I thought that was pretty good.
That was good. That we have to give that one credit to Sarge, our producer, who came up with that one.
We do. Yeah. You know, we like those T words for our Tuesday. And actually, the story goes that he thought of this several weeks ago and we came up with the whole banter and then we forgot what it was. But yeah. So anyway, so it's a Taffy Tuesday. So everyone has lots to chew on, I guess.
Oh, Jerry's in on it. He said, that's salty.
It is salty.
Absolutely. Good one. Good one.
We love it. We love it.
Yeah. Have fun with our alliteration. Alliteration, right? That's it.
Because that's kind of what we're known for since we started this now. Everybody's giving us clues as to what kind of a Tuesday it should be.
Yeah.
So
that's good. That's good fun. Awesome.
Well, how are you on this final week of Mercury retrograde? I'll be so happy to see the back end of this one, let me tell you.
This one's been a little crazy. Ooh. Yeah. I'm okay with it leaving, which is, it is, you know, whatever. It's fine. But it's been a little rockier than normal. But yes. Anyway, you know, it's been active, too. It's been really active here in our house. There was something that happened a couple of, it was like a week ago now. And I wanted to talk about it at my paranormal group meetup on Friday and I totally forgot. So I'm going to say it here because it's just, it's so weird what
You're
happened.
Messing with everything. Yeah.
So I was sitting on the porch, the front porch with my dogs and it was, I think Sunday morning and early, it was early. And I was out there with my coffee and the two dogs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew Tim was going to get up and work on something. I didn't know. He always has projects he's working on. And so he was going to get up and work on something. And he, you know, Tim, he likes to play jokes and practical jokes and, you know, whatever. So I heard him. He must have been on the other side of the door inside the house, the front door. And he knocked on the door a couple of times. And I figured I could just imagine him, like, peeking out the window of the door, you know, kind of looking. And just, you know, joking around, knocking on the door. Well, it gets the dogs riled up. So they start barking. They look at the front door. They go around to the front door. So we're on the outside. So they're on the outside looking at the front door towards, you know, they can't see in, but they're looking at the door. And as that happens, it, you know, a couple knocks. And within 2 seconds, the garage door starts opening. Now the garage door is on the other end of the house. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, wait a minute. If Tim is... How did he get over the garage door? There's no way he could get over the garage door and open it. And I know he doesn't have a garage door opener. So how did he get from the front door to the garage door? So he comes out the garage. And I was like, were you just knocking on the door? The front door? He's like, no, I just came through the garage. And I said, seriously, like 2 seconds before you came out the garage door, someone knocked on the front door. Very clearly, two knocks. And he said, really? And I said, yeah, it was enough to get the dogs up. They started barking. Mm-hmm. They went to the front door. We all heard it. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, I didn't. And I said, you don't have a garage door opener that I don't know about, do you? Nope. I haven't had one yet. I'm like, all right. Because I thought, well, maybe he'd be joking around that way. No, yeah. He didn't. He did not do the knock.
Crazy.
And it was super clear. It was really cool.
Yeah, I don't, you know, there's just been a lot of strange things happening, I got to say. And I feel like I've been seeing a lot more spirits this last couple of weeks, too. Just out of the corner, not full on, just out of the corner of my eyes. You know, it's like something will kind of run, you know, and it's like, oh, yeah, it's crazy time for sure. But
well, and that's interesting, too, because we've been seeing a lot more apparitions here. Excuse me. I saw one in the house. She came down the hallway. And she, oh yeah, this is something that I talked about before. Maybe we can talk about it on a different show. Mm-hmm. I talked about it last week on my paranormal group, not here. Mm-hmm. She came down the hallway and she looked confused. She gets to the end of the hallway and starts looking around. Her hair is kind of messy. She had dark circles around her eyes. And she had what looked like a white or dress or nightgown on. And mm-hmm. she looked confused and she's looking around and I stared at her for a good 5 seconds. And it wasn't out of the corner of my eye. It was full on. And she stood there. I could not see through her. She mm-hmm. was a full apparition. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I said, Tim, do you see her? And by the time he turned and looked, she was gone.
Yeah.
But I couldn't see through her. She was not, she was not translucent. Yeah. So, but then I started to think, okay, white dress or nightgown. Okay, that's almost cliche at this point because everybody, mm-hmm. the lady in the white dress, the lady right. in the white nightgown, you know, whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I started thinking, I'm like, I wonder if there's something with the dimensions or, you know, these, you know, different layers. Because I started to think, well, they don't all wear white, right? So what if there's some kind of, and maybe someone already figured this out, what mm-hmm. if there's something in the way that we see it, kind of like when we use infrared cameras when we're investigating at night. Mm-hmm. And if you notice, everybody's outfit looks white or light gray.
It's
no matter yes. what color you have on, yes. if you have black, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
Everything is light or white gray or white or light gray, right? Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I thought, I wonder if this is something that is because of the dimensions. And so I had talked about it with the paranormal group and we didn't really come up with anything. And I'm not saying we have to here either, but
yeah.
it's got me thinking, you know, over the last couple of days, because I thought that's really weird, you know, yeah. and it's not that people don't see colored clothing, you know, they see blues and mm-hmm. greens and dress colors, you know, whatever. I mean, you see stuff, but a lot of times you see that as well. And so I yeah. wonder if that has something with the different layers or dimensions that
that's
if it's
interesting, isn't it? It's a good
yeah, advice. it makes me think about it. And I wonder mm-hmm. if that has something to do with how we see things or how they are able to manifest. Is there something that is mm-hmm. kind of like the infrared lighting? Mm-hmm. You know, that
never affects. Thought about it. But yeah, because when we do see apparitions that we do note colors, like I can think of two that I've seen that were just
yeah, exactly.
like they were standing next to me and I could tell you all the colors they were wearing.
Well, exactly.
But a lot of them, you're right, they are just kind of whitish, right? You know, like an infrared camera. Yeah, for sure. That's a good, yeah, that's a good thought. I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought it was something to think about, and I thought I'd put it out there, give you guys something to think about. But, Mike said maybe a filtered frequency in your mind's eye. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where it's coming from because she could have been wearing a blue dress and I saw white, you know, mm-hmm. because of the filters or the dimensions or I don't know what. So I just thought it was interesting and I wanted to throw it out there because why not give you guys something else to think about?
Oh, yeah. For sure. No, I like it. I think it's great. You know, it's always good that we talk about, you know, different things like this. I think it's because when we come about them, it's just plain interesting, you know. I see Karen's on, and a couple weeks ago we were talking about that new show. Oh, gosh, now I totally forget. Paranormal Witness or something. It's with two of the ghost hunters, and I can't remember what it's called. She's a redhead. It actually was
pretty Kindred
good.
Spirits?
She yeah, was yeah, yeah, about yeah, that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's yep. what it is. I didn't see the whole thing. You know, I was watching TV for like 15 minutes or something. And so I saw like 15 minutes of it, but yeah, it is a different show. And it was good. Yeah. Karen, see, she really likes that show. Yeah. It wasn't bad. It was, they do it in a very different they do go at it differently, you know? So I like it. That's cool. Amy and Andy. Yes. So, but anyway, yeah, no, I like it. And I just think there's so much going on in the supernatural world this year. And I don't know if it's because of the Mercury retrograde or whatever, because usually in summer, with the summer shroud being so noisy and active and energy filled with energy, it's like, you don't, it kind of tamps down on the paranormal. But wow, this year, no, we've just been seeing so much stuff. So I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I don't ever really feel that anything quiets down. It's just because it's always active. But this few weeks have been kind of nuts, really.
Yeah. And I always think when the summer, when it's close to the solstice, which is what we're talking about tonight, I think there's just so much earth energy and sun energy that it does. I do think it kind of tramps down. You know, unless you're thinking about it and really trying to feel stuff, it's not as open and observable as it is other times of year. I think it's just too much other energy in the way. You know what I mean?
I will have to pleasantly disagree with you.
Okay.
But that's okay. Right. We agree to disagree on a whole bunch of things.
That's right. Yes. And that's good. That's good. We all, yes. Yeah. But anyway, so we have a guest on our show tonight.
We do. We have Kyle Cadell back from the International Paranormal Museum and Research Center. Yeah. Hello, Kyle. Welcome back.
Yeah. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great. Good. We are excited to have you here.
Yes.
I'm excited to be here. Just so you guys know, when I said, hey, how's it going? I just waved through the phone. I guess I'm used to like Zoom conferences and stuff.
I love it. I love it. Skype wasn't
with you all.
Yes, and Skype wasn't playing nice, so we couldn't get you on. Couldn't look at you, but that's maybe not such a bad thing for me anyway.
Yeah.
I'm looking a little tired tonight.
I was really hoping we'd finally get it through on Skype. You know, every time I think we've done a little bit better. I remember one time for the interview, I was actually in a Taco Bell parking lot just to make sure I had like decent Wi-Fi. So I'm up here in our studio this time. I was really hoping to get Skype going, but hopefully this audio quality is okay.
I think you sound good.
Yeah.
Good.
I do remember that time in the Taco Bell parking lot, though.
Yep.
Yeah. My, how the we've grown since then.
It was awesome. So anyway, welcome to the table again. And we were just chatting before the show, and I said, well, you know, it used to be a once yearly thing with you, but now I think we just need to have you on both at the summer and winter solstices. So there you go.
I'm down. Every time that we're thinking of new beginnings, you think of me now.
Yes.
Yay.
Love it.
So, Kyle, you are one of the owners, creators of the International Paranormal Museum and Research Center, and that's based out of Somerset, Kentucky, correct?
So true. The one and only owner and director and curator.
Oh, the one and only. Why did I think there was two of you? I don't know.
At one point there was, but my partner actually split off and is doing something called Paranormal Road Tripper, which is actually a really cool little project where he just released a book last year called The Bigfooters Atlas. And Lauren Coleman from the Cryptozoology Museum actually called it the book of the year. So
awesome. Yeah,
It's not like I'm the only one doing the museum, but it's not in a like uh-oh sort of way. Like he's doing amazing things right now and still adding to the mythos that is Somerset, Kentucky, and all the weirdness that is here, you know.
Nice. Well, and you just reopened in April, correct? With after COVID?
We did. We actually, so last year we were closed for about 6 months. And we ended up doing a full remodel during that time and, like, completely revamping the museum, adding a bunch more and, like, new lights and display cases and everything. But then we reopened last September, but we had to close back down in February. We're in a 114-year-old building, something like that, from our downtown. Or it's one of the most beautiful buildings in our downtown that was originally built as the first post office for the area. But we, with all of that history, have a lot of building issues. And so our boiler in I think it was the end of January, just gave out, and it was a huge deal to get replaced. But we did get reopened a couple months ago, and traffic is picked right back up. So people weren't mad for too long at us.
Good, good.
Awesome.
Oh, good. Well, that's good to hear everything's back up and running. And you have quite the list of things that you brought to the table tonight, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought we could do a little either or on a lot of this stuff. I figured this first, looks like we have about 15 minutes left. We could, you know, touch base with some of the things we talked about last time I was on, which a lot was, you know, of course the solstices are always about renewal. And last year there was a lot going on astrologically that really made it a specific point. And obviously there's a lot of things going on in the world. Still are, but we're at this point now where at the summer solstice, it's really aligning with this new renewal that we're all having. And just like summer is a celebration of life, life is coming back, you know. And I mean, the museum's good proof of it, too, that we're actually having customers again, and there's actually people being happy and spending time, you know, traveling and doing things again. So it's really beautiful. Like even the 6 months here that we've taken from not talking to each other, it's really beautiful how it mirrors and how much it's grown, you know?
Nice.
Well, and, yeah. I think between then and now, I think things have dramatically changed, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't, you know, personally, a lot. You know, last time we talked, I was going through a lot of emotional stuff, and my life was a lot different at that point than it had been for the year previous. And that, I feel like that's a microcosm of what's being reflected in the reality I see here, where, you know, everything's alive again. You know, I hate to use that same imagery, but like that's really what it kind of is, like that we've, you know, blossomed again. And everything's kind of, I mean, I hesitate to say in full swing, but like people are people again, you know, and it's hard sometimes to shed off, especially, you know, I think of the pandemic, basically, I think of that Third Eye Blind song, losing a whole year, you know, and that's really just what happened. But like, not really, because even though it's been a year of difference from what we wanted it to be, it's still been like such a great time for introspection and growth. And I mean, last time I was on, we talked about manifestation a lot. And I just wanted to talk a little bit of that, to that aspect. Like I said, I was going through a lot of things emotionally at that point, and I feel like when people are doing that, manifestation is big on their mind, you know, because things don't always go well, and you want to have this like comfort of being able to create a better world for yourself. And what's weird about that now is that things are going better for me now, and it's not like manifestation is like that in that overall arching thought anymore. And it's not that it's still occurring, but I really would like to liken it to, and I'm apologize to do this to your listening audience, because it's going to mess up everyone here in a second, but I liken it to when you first start thinking about breathing, and it changes from an automatic thing to thinking breathe in and breathe out. And when that happens, you can't help but think of the process of breathing, and breathing is the most elemental thing for our lives. And so once you get into that situation where you're doing manual breathing, you keep on thinking about it. But once you get back to the automatic system where your mind's on other things and you're just breathing and in and out without a thought, I liken that to like the idea of manifestation when you're not focusing on it. Because in your everyday life, you're still planning, okay, this is what I'm going to do later. This is what's going to happen tomorrow. This is what I'd really like to see in the future. This is what my life is going to be like. So this is an automatic version of manifestation, like without the process of even thinking about it. And I just think that's kind of a beautiful thought, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't thought about it like that. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just so, I don't know, there's a lot of things in life that, like, you know, broccoli is thought to be really good for your lungs, and, like, it kind of looks like your lungs. And there's, lion's mane mushrooms look like brains, and they're supposed to be good for your brains. And, like, there's a lot of things in that, like, there's a part in a very weird way noticeable of what it can do for you. And I think that's what manifestation kind of is, that it's something you can think about and actually notice, but it's also something that you can just adopt into your life and just is in the background, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That makes sense. Cool. Yeah,
I agree. I like it for sure.
Yeah.
That's a cool way to think about it.
Yeah, especially as we're entering the back half of the year, you know, it's like, what else do you want to do with your year? You know, is there anything you want to accomplish? Do you focus on it, or is it always just running in the background too?
Exactly. Yeah. What, like when you put a pot on the back burner, it's still cooking, you know, like, mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. What's going on in our back burners, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly.
It's interesting, and the solstice, I think, is a really good time to, you know, touch base with that kind of stuff, because it's, again, you know, there's a lot of similarities in the solstices in their, you know, metaphysical meanings, and, like, there's still a good time to, like, you know, when you learn meditation from a guru, a lot of times, every once in a while, even if you've done it for years, they like to tune you up and, like, check in on you. And I feel like the solstices are a good time to do that metaphysically and spiritually, you know. The summer one, of course, is like represents things completely differently but very similarly in other aspects to the winter one, where it's the longest day of the year, of course, in our northern hemisphere. And I mean, that's because the planet, like the North Pole, is almost directly like facing the sun at this time. So, like, there's aspects, or, like, there's areas on Earth where, like, I think it's close to the equator. I didn't look this up. But, like, when you're looking at the sun, when it reaches its apex, all of a sudden it stops and then seems to stay still and then goes in the opposite direction. And that's just because of the way that the world is right now, like geographically, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just so strange to think about. And, you know, that's a phenomenon that's been noticed. Like, people think that even in the Neolithic era, people not only noticed, but celebrated the solstice. The Neolithic era is up to like 6,000 years ago. And it's beautiful to think about people back then, even having celebrations that continue today, and use it to mark, like, when to do their first harvest and when to do crops, which is exactly, like, the thoughts of it today, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And actually, at one point, ancient Greeks even used the solstice as the beginning of their new year. So this is, of course, it's switched now to the winter solstice, but that's just so interesting that, again, it's another representation of life. Traditionally, you know, we think about it as about the midpoint, you know. In Europe, it was always called midsummer, you know, midsummer's night's dream, you know. And it's astrologically or astronomically, it's like kind of the start of the summer. Of course, it's the longest days of the year. It's the shortest nights of the year. And it's basically the midpoint for everything. And, you know, Wiccans and pagans always called it, was it Letha, I believe, or Litha?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
even after that, Christians, you know, the church is always, like, taken to adopting pagan holidays to call their own.
Yes.
And it became St. John's Day, which was, like, the celebration for John the Baptist's birthday. So, like, it just became a universal important thing to people.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's, you know, there's a lot of traditions, positive and negative, about it. You know, according to folklore, evil spirits would come around on the summer solstice, which is interesting. But one of the easiest ways to ward them off is with bonfire, like giant bonfires during the nights. And the other cool thing about that is, like, literally the solstice represents the sun, and the sun is represented by fire. And so it's cool, so cool to think that, like, it's the longest day of the year, and then you continue the sun's power by that fire that helps to ward off those evil spirits. And another thing that they would do is wear flower crowns or garlands of, like, herbs and flowers around their necks. And something else interesting that I think about that is one of the most reportedly powerful plants that they would wear around their neck was called a chase devil. And nowadays, chase devils are called St. John's wort because of its association with St. John's Day.
Wow.
Huh.
That's interesting.
So it just, yeah, they just influence each other back and forth, you know. I think that's so strange, you know. But back to the bonfires. In addition to those bonfires keeping the evil spirits away, they would dance around the bonfires all night until literally there was nothing left except ash. And they would start jumping over the burning coals. And wishing for good luck. There's actually, I believe, let me find here in my notes, the Irish, who often celebrated Letha, believe that bonfires that they had could grant wishes. So you would, all you need to do is carry a stone in your pocket and walk around the flame three times as you would whisper your wishes that you wanted to come true. And after you've done that, you throw the stone from your pocket into the fire, and that would that would bring your wishes to life, which is just such a, you know, just such a positive, you know, way to think about it. And again, the slant of manifestation, you're literally focusing on what you want to happen in this time that you're also focusing on renewal. Because, like, fire and the sun, of course, also represent, you know, burning everything bad away and bringing new life in, you know, like getting rid of what you don't need anymore by fire, and then only taking what you need with you.
Yeah, that's a cool way to think about celebrating the solstice as it's coming up, and hopefully... I've been wanting to have a fire for a while, but we can't because of how dry it's been. So hopefully by then, which, you know, is less than a week or about a week away, we're able to have a fire because we'll get some rain by then, because it would be nice to be able to do that, you know, to practice that over the solstice.
Oh, for sure.
Have a fire ceremony.
Yes, I agree. But yeah, it's so dry here in Minnesota right now. I don't think we want to do it unless we get some rain.
No.
Wow, it's dry. Yeah.
Yeah, we cause big problems.
But oh,
that is, yeah, that's cool. But you know what? You could do it. You could have a something similar, you know, a variation of it as well. You know, you could have a candle inside, you know, and maybe burn a piece of paper that you had something written on. You throw it into some kind of a pan or something from your kitchen or whatever, and burn it, you know, in that. So you can make a variation of it, I would imagine, you know.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And even the idea of having an all-night vigil with a candle to ward off the evil spirits. So both aspects of the reasons for the fire can be substituted, like, within your home with the same intent, you know?
Yeah. Cool.
I like it. Yeah, that's great. Cool. Yeah, I love it.
Good idea. Gives people something to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And just remember, though, when you do have your bonfire or your candle, keep the embers or the ashes afterwards, because they're said to be able to protect you from misfortune throughout the rest of the year. Or you can spread those ashes on your garden. It'll bring a bountiful harvest in the fall.
Nice. You know, I save my ashes that I use at the studio when I burn Palo Santo or sage. I save it all, and I use it for different things.
Now, when I when I do ceremony, I always save it. I never throw it away, but I let it, I leave the shell outside and then I'll, you know, put it in the gardens or in plants or whatever, you know, and I do think it helps. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. it goes back to the earth that way, right? So, yeah, cool.
That's, yeah, like that's it. Awesome.
See, I'm still thinking about this. Can you tell? I'm like,
I know when we get quiet, we're like thinking about
this. I know.
That's not good for radio.
I know. But you know what? We're 30 minutes in, so it's time to go to commercial break. And this is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid Of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on Para-X Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on Para-X?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction. We are ready to scare you.
Para-X.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
Where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No.
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. And we have Kyle Cadell with us tonight. And he is the sole owner of the International Paranormal Museum and Research Center. And we're talking about the summer solstice tonight with Kyle, which is a switch from last time you were on, which was the winter solstice. So we're super excited to flip it around with you, Kyle, because you brought some really cool ideas to the table for celebrating the summer solstice.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much again. I really enjoy this, biannual tradition we have now.
It is a tradition now.
And it all started when we met at CryptidCon in Frankfort, Kentucky several years ago. Wasn't that fun?
Yeah, old CryptidCon. Are you guys going to make it to any festivals this year this way?
I don't know. I've been talking to the girls about, I would love to come to CryptidCon again down in Kentucky, but it's kind of at the time of year where there's a lot going on within the group, within our personal lives. So I don't think it's going to happen. I really like the idea that it was in November, actually. But looking at everybody's calendars, it's like, I don't think it's going to happen, unfortunately. But there's always next year. There's always next year.
Exactly. Yeah, this year's become kind of, you know, a trial time to, can we have these again? And next year, I'm like, we'll be 100%. Regularity, you know.
Yeah. How about you? Are you going this year?
I think so. Well, you know, I still have I still have a table booked from last year, so why not, you know?
Yeah,
We recently did that podcast, me and my investigation partners, Nathan and Darren, called the Penny Royal Podcast, which is like our region here. Mm-hmm. And like, so it focuses on a lot of weird Kentucky stuff. And so I'm trying to get see if we can't do a speaking engagement at CryptidCon this year, just because it's so Kentucky-centric, you know?
Yeah, that would be very cool.
That'd be great. You guys would be great at that.
Mm-hmm. I think so, for sure. Good luck, yeah. So
yeah, hopefully that works out.
Yeah, and then if we ever do make it back down to Kentucky, I know we will. I mean, I have friends down there and stuff, but we have to come down. And what is the name of your town again, Kyle? Let's talk about that.
It's Somerset, Kentucky, which, by the way, I've gotten so confused every time I've, like, looked up the summer solstice, like, to do research. I always put in summer, and then it's spelled S-O-M here, and so then I have to delete, you know? So.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Somerset, Kentucky, the houseboat capital of the world. We actually have a giant man-made lake here that's its own source of weirdness. I could actually go in for hours about how strange our town specifically is, but
we should almost make that another show with you, Kyle.
Yeah.
Just hear about your weird town and all the stuff, because it sounds, just the few things you've said about it before, it's like, you, no wonder you're the home of the International Paranormal Museum and Research Center.
Right? I think Heidi, we ought to make plans and go down there and do a radio show from the museum some investigation.
Cool.
Wouldn't that be fun? Maybe we can plan that for 2022.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
Yeah, let's get our calendars out, you guys. Yeah, let's get our calendars out and figure it out. And then maybe we can all go investigate the Poplic Trestle again and find that goat man.
Absolutely. We'll get him this time, I promise.
Oh, Kyle promises. Okay.
Well, as long as none of us go up on the tracks, you know, and get hit by the train, I think it's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, that would be fun. We got to let's all get together with our calendars and figure it out, because that would just be super fun. Yeah, spend a couple of days down there investigating with you, and then we could do the radio show, and oh, geez, it would just be a riot.
We just invited ourselves to your house, Kyle.
You did.
And I hate to do a shameless plug, but listen to our podcast, the Penny Royal Podcast. It's like a season by season, so the first season's 8 episodes. It's definitely binge-worthy. And it will just make you even more want to come here and do investigations.
Oh,
there's,
nice.
You know, there's UFOs that are shaped like stingrays. There are Bigfoot. There are unsolved murders. There's ghosts. There's underground caves with goblins in them. There's a little bit of everything here. So it's definitely worth it.
I love it. Absolutely.
Yeah, we definitely need another show just for all this.
Yeah. Whenever you want to do that, Kyle, you just let us know. But I think we should go down there, Heidi. I think that's something we could plan for next year.
That'd be cool. Sure. Sounds like a cool town.
That would be cool. Maybe even the spring or autumn equinox, you know, just.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, that would be excellent. And it's warmer in Kentucky for the spring equinox. So I'm just saying, yeah, that might be a good time to go down.
Agreed.
Exactly.
Gosh. Okay. Well, I know we were going to talk about maybe ways that we could, people could just celebrate the equinox, because it's such a cool time of the year. Actually, it's a hot time of the year, but you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's so funny, especially like you think out like Arizona and New Mexico, like they've already been for weeks probably in 100 plus temperatures. So for their idea of, no, this is the start of the summer, they're like, give me a break, you know?
They're like, no, we've been in summer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can call whatever this is what you want. This is summer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as I said, like, you know, the solstice has been around forever, and there's been so many traditions of, like, around it, of course. And like, if money was no object, the best thing any of us could ever do is go out to Stonehenge, right?
Yes.
Stonehenge is just this beautiful, like, based on an ancient burial ground that's still to this day, like, giant druidic rituals happen at the solstice that thousands and thousands of people come out and check out. And it's just happened for as long as Stonehenge has been a thing, and it's just so like gorgeous that it's living history, you know. And of course, all of Stonehenge is set up like specifically for the solstices. At dawn on the summer solstice, the central the altar stone, it aligns like perfectly with the slaughter stone, heel stone, and the rising sun to the northeast. So it's just this beam of light lines up absolutely perfectly. That's literally the only time of the year it happens. And which is just, you know, I just love the idea of just ancient architecture being able to depict stuff like this, you know? It's much more than we give ancient people credit for a lot of times, you know? And, of course, like, Stonehenge was also important because in the United Kingdom, it also marked the first harvest of the year. And so that by itself was a good reason to celebrate life and fertility, honestly. Mm-hmm. A big tradition of the solstice is sexual in orientation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sex magic has been huge in pagan and Wiccan rituals. And literally the sun is the life bringer. This is the sun's day. And this mm-hmm. is like one of the most basic ways you could ever celebrate the solstice is with whatever ritual magic sexual acts of your choosing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to mention before I go to some of the more ways to celebrate, like as I said, Stonehenge is laid out for the solstices perfectly, but our town here, Somerset, Kentucky, was built as many small towns and larger towns even in America were built on Masonic principles. Some of the first gathering places before churches even were Masonic lodges in a lot of these small towns. And really, the Masonic lodges being built across the country are what shaped the roads in America to connect to the areas that they do. Like, that was the first skeleton of transportation, was where these Masonic lodges go. So just that's just to give you an idea of like how much power and reverence was given to the Masonic lodges, mm-hmm. because one of the things that were important were the solstices. And our town here in Somerset, as well as New York, and like I said, many other towns are set up to where on the solstices, our downtown Fountain Square, our main street, the sun will rise on one of them and set on the other. And then on the other one, the equinoxes, they'll go on the other side, you know? And it's just this,
nice.
Yeah, this beautiful thing where, like in New York, I think it's 45th Street or something, where on the solstice, people will gather. They have to shut down traffic most of the time. They'll just gather because the sun perfectly sets, on this one road. And, like, it's beautiful, of course, but it's so strange that that's how much power these things, like the Masonic lodges and other secret societies, had in the infancy of our nation, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
But,
that is cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, how to celebrate? Well, some of the things spiritually is, like I said, it's a time of new beginnings. It's a time for us to open up and let the light back in. And it's a time of inspiration, really. If you're into any crystal magic or anything, it's a very common practice, as I'm sure you guys know, to recharge your crystals in the sun. Mm-hmm. Well, this is the day to do it out of any of them.
Absolutely.
Is the summer solstice. And, like, it's a beautiful time to just to renew your crystals and start on any new crystal magic you've been thinking about. Just like how full moons are the best times to make moon water, you know, like, or like it's just such a like made for this activity type of thing, you know. It's, I don't know. And as I mentioned, it's a lot about new growth, and the bonfire is absolutely the number way to celebrate. There's all those different ways we've talked about to keep the ashes, to get your wishes granted and everything else. And jumping over the fire is something that has been, I want to caution, you have to wait until the embers go.
It's
the embers. But jumping over the fire is another thing, another way to ring in the new season, you know, to shed off evil from you, not evil spirits, but like to begin anew, you know, to burn off the bad things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, a big part of the solstice is staying up all night. I'm not trying to be too debauchery recommending, but, you know, staying up all night is one of the very basic parts of the summer solstice to maintain the fire and to maintain the all night vigils and mm-hmm. to just welcome the summer sun back in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, another thing is, as we talked about, is making a flower crown, but really more than that, just communing with nature, which, you know, that's never bad advice.
No.
Bad advice, you know. There's
yes.
The flower crowns are like meant to connect you with nature and to ward off evil spirits. And, you know, interestingly, like the men and women are both instructed to wear floral pieces because, again, that's symbolizes fertility and natural abundance. So it's just another way to celebrate life. Like, it's just mm-hmm. these multifaceted celebrations that really fascinate me with a lot of the history of the solstice celebrations, you know?
Yeah.
In the same vein as communion with nature, the solstice, the summer solstice, is the time of the year that there's more fae out, more fairy folk out than any other time of the year.
Absolutely.
So, mm-hmm. yeah, staying out and communing with nature, there's a slight difference, I would guess, depends on how you interpret it, between that and communing with fae, you know? It's an amazing time to, like, put yourself out there with the nature spirits, with the nymphs and everything, that, you know, you can stay up all night sitting in the middle of a stone circle, according to, English rituals, and you can actually communicate, like, face-to-face with fae. So a lot of us, you know, there stone circles, of course, are more common in England, but there's so many of them here, and, like, it's just another beautiful expression of nature with mm-hmm. a pointed thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I had one more note about that. Let me find. Oh, yeah. The reason why there's so many out during midsummer is because they are protecting the earth from the battle raging in the sky between the Oak King, who was in power through the winter, and the Holly King, who has arisen from slumber to take his place in the crowd. So that's why there it's literally a battle between the different forces of nature, and sure. that's why fairies are out in full force right now. So that's just kind of a even more beautiful idea. And then the last second to last recommendation for how to celebrate is ritualistic baths, especially during nighttime. Are an age-old tradition during the solstice. So it especially goes back to a time when, you know, humans bathe less often than they did. But it is something that, you know, baths are obviously a very personal magic thing. And so this is a great time during the evening to take a bath, a renewing bath. So, and then the very last bit of information, or, like, way to celebrate, is to be with your loved ones. Because, of course, that's what it's all about, you know, during your solstices. It's this time, like we said, new beginnings, and it's a time of really grounding you to what makes you you. And for most of us, that's our loved ones, you know, that's the people we know and care about and care about us. So make sure to keep them in your mind for this this season, you know.
Absolutely.
Well, and that's even more special right now because of the opportunities we're having to be able to get back together in person with them. That feels even more special on this solstice.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It's almost a way, you know, traditionally people would gather together that lived in countrysides that hadn't seen each other for months to celebrate the solstices. So there's really absolutely that aspect of gathering with these loved ones you haven't been able to gather with for so long. And that's really just another way to keep, like, this history is repeating itself with us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool. Very mm-hmm. cool.
All right. Well, you know, that's most of what I have here on the solstice. But, you know, I'd love to answer questions or talk about the museum or about how weird Somerset and Kentucky is in general, which you guys know a bit about that, but, you know, or anything else. I did have something earlier. I was listening to you guys talk about the idea of the woman in white and how maybe mm-hmm. The dimensional shifts affect the idea of our observance of color. Yeah. And that brought me up, like, just last night we were doing our live stream for our Patreon, for our Penny Royal podcast, and mm-hmm. one of the things we got to talking about was this new wave of UFO disclosures coming from the government mm-hmm. and all these new fascinating videos. You know, they're amazing, but they're completely different. Like, our idea for 80 years of a UFO has been a light in the sky. It has been something bright in a dark sky. Mm-hmm. And now all of these videos being released by the Navy and everyone are the exact opposite of that. It's this infrared dark spot that's darker than everything else on the screen and is completely reshaping the way that people are even thinking about UFOs or UAPs at this point. So I thought that was an interesting correlation between what you guys were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That is interesting. Yeah, it throws a monkey wrench into how we've been thinking about things, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because yeah, it's different than we've had in our head for so many years, decades.
Yeah, and it's weird because, like, UFO phenomenon, I want to preface this by saying I absolutely believe in UFOs. If pushed to give a further opinion, I think they're more ultra-terrestrial than extraterrestrial, meaning they come from other dimensions than other planets, but mm-hmm. I'm open to both ideas. But it's really interesting that, like, every thought. So the first UFO encounters was like the one right off the bay. I can't remember which bay it is, but off the west coast, and I think it was off of Oregon or Washington, up there. One of the first like modern day UFO sightings, which excuse me, was also the first Men in Black sighting. There's these people that saw several ships that seemed to like. Shed this molten metal off of them, and it actually landed on a dog and killed it, apparently.
Really?
But that was, like, the very first, like, modern UFO sighting, and months, maybe not even full months after that was Roswell. And so then, all of these UFO sightings in that time, you know, had a basis over the same type of idea of, like, flying saucers and what they looked like. And then all, you know, science fiction started kind of mirroring that. But that was just about, you know, we had airplanes at that point. Flying saucers just ahead of what we could imagine, like, as reality, but is still feasible and is still recognizable. And an interesting, like, correlation with that is, like, in the 1890s, there was this rash of airship sightings is what they were referred to. At the time, of course, there weren't airplanes, there weren't blimps, there weren't anything like that. But basically, the airship sightings were people that would see a blimp-type object, a ship that was in the air, like, floating, and would stop, and they would drop an anchor, and someone would climb down the anchor, and then, like, do some repairs to the ship. That it was somehow broken, they would communicate that a lot. And then as soon as they would fix it, they'd climb back up the anchor, lift it, and take off on the airship. And so, like, that at that time, it's, you know, there are no blimps or airplanes. So the idea of a ship is something that people knew from the ocean. So the idea of an airship, again, is just ahead of what technology was at the time, but still, like, rational enough to be believable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting how just waves of pop culture and UFO sightings change with technology, how they're always just a little bit more advanced than us. They're not, like, a giant glowing blob that, you know, sucks reality into it and changes it, you know? It's mm-hmm. just an interesting idea.
Hmm. Very cool.
It is, for sure.
Sorry for that tangent.
No, it's good. I hadn't heard that story about over on the West Coast. I don't know why I hadn't heard
either.
That. Yeah. With something dripping off of it? That's crazy. That's awesome. I'm sorry for the dog if that actually happened.
Well, see, and here I am. The dog?
Yeah, that was my first thing, too. And, mm-hmm. like, there's a lot of weird things about that sighting, too, because, like, one of the two people that, like, that were involved also got involved somehow in the JFK assassination. And, like so it's so, like, disparate from those kind of ideas, but all of a sudden they're wrapped up into other, like, conspiracies and stuff. But we mm-hmm. actually cover the one guy in our Penny Royal stuff. But it's just so bizarre how, like, I don't know, these people are all intertwined, especially in the 50s and 60s. We just watched Mirage Men, which is a documentary about, like, the government infiltrating UFO groups and spreading disinformation. And, like, the most fascinating thing about it is there's this guy, Paul Benowitz, who, yeah, have you heard of the Dulce, New Mexico underground alien base at all?
Yeah, a little bit. I've heard of it.
Okay. So that whole idea comes from this guy, mostly in the 70s, Paul Benowitz, who was a genius, and he was a scientist, and he lived right by an Air Force base on the outskirts of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And he noticed what he called UFOs landing on the Air Force base and doing weird things. And he started, like, recording transmissions from them. And he thought that, like, the Air Force didn't know that these aliens were coming and landing on the Air Force base, so I better tell them. And so he called the Air Force and was like, hey, I have video recordings of all these lights landing on your property and stuff. So the Air Force is like, oh no, like this is, some of these are like top secret, like things we're doing that he's filming. And so instead of like arresting him or anything, they like met with him, especially this guy, Richard Doty, was his main contact. And he said, you know what? You're right, Paul. These are aliens. And you're intercepting transmissions that we didn't know about. And thank you for telling the Air Force. And they started just completely, they drove this guy crazy. He went to a mental hospital and everything. He died eventually. And like, he, like, at one point, this guy flew him up to Dulce, New Mexico, and was in an airplane, and the government had laid miles of a fake gravel road that looked like it went down into an underground base in Dulce, New Mexico. And like, they flew him over and said, you see that? You were right, Paul. This is where the aliens come out. And then like, had him land on a mountain that like they had already populated with like crop, like spaceship debris, and they're like, you're right, Paul, here's like a spaceship crashed here. And like, some of the things were so convincing that they showed him that like even the Air Force agent that was sent to trick him was tricked by some of the things. And like, it's just this whole thing where they infiltrated these USA or these UFO groups and like spread so much disinformation and like said this is and isn't what happened and drove people crazy. And like, I don't know, it makes me think that there's a lot more to the paranoid thought of like they're out to get us, you know, because who would ever think that the Air Force would ever give a crap about a UFO conference in Roswell, New Mexico,
right?
But they always send agents, you know.
Of course. It's crazy. Well,
cool.
So Mike actually put out in the chat room the Wikipedia about the Maury Island incident, which is the one that you're talking about.
Maury Island. Yeah.
Okay. So next time I'm out there, I'm gonna dig up a little bit of stuff. I have property on San Juan Island, which is further north than there, but in the same locale, right? So I'm gonna see what I can find about that. That's really interesting.
You should check it out.
Cool beans. Yeah, I'm gonna for sure. So it flew past Mount Rainier at speeds of 1200 miles an hour. That's just crazy talk, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And what, you know, that whole area of Mount Rainier has had so many like UFO sightings. It's unbelievable, you know.
Very cool, very interesting. So I will report back when I find anything out for sure. Just a quick plug for our sibling show, The Calling. Don't forget to join them tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on this network. Tomorrow night they are talking about strange and bizarre oddities. Paranormal oddities, I guess. So, cool beans. So, Kyle, geez, I think we could talk a whole show about UFOs with you, actually.
Yeah, we're going to have you on a couple times.
I think so. So I think we need to bring you back for a show on UFOs and then another one for all about, you know, this crazy town that you live in and paranormal stuff. For sure, let's do it. Like I said, I'll find out about this whole Maury Island thing. See what I can dig up out there when I'm there. But yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, we're a minute end. 1 minute left. So thank you, Kyle, for joining us tonight. This has been awesome, and you're definitely coming back, whether you like it or not. No,
absolutely.
I'm kidding.
And before the winter solstice, too.
So Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me.
Yes, it's always fun to have you on the show, so thank
you. And everybody, look for that Penny Royal podcast. It's on wherever you get your podcasts, because that's Kyle and friends. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you for the troops, if you're listening, and thank you, of course, for your service, and be safe.
Absolutely, and everybody in the chat room and all the folks out listening, wherever you are, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you to Para X Radio for hosting our radio show, because we love it here. And Sarge, our most amazing producer once again, and for your contribution to the beginning of our show. Thank you, Sarge. And it's been another fun week, and we are looking forward to coming back next week.